Venezuela, blessed people, if we can advance our conversation. So having laid that background and introduction for you, that you may understand what the Lord is saying, perpetually, continuously, and consistently across time to the church, and why the Lord is addressing the end time, the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah all the time. And so, now, in the context of all that, and then it says, go tell them that when the rapture takes place, they will have bodies like mine. Again, go tell them that when the rapture takes place, because now he has a glorious body. So he essentially was saying that they will have glorious bodies like he, like mine, praise the Lord. So glorification of the church, the glorification of the saints, marks a very pivotal place, a very central place in the prophetic timeline of the church. A very key place, because that becomes the moment when finally the church, finally, the fruit of the cross gets to enter heaven, glorified. Because right now, anybody that has ever died before the rapture, born again and holy, right now they're in the presence of Christ. But they are having intermediary bodies. Right now they don't have the glorious body. They don't have the glorious body. And they too are waiting. Right now, all those who were drawn to the presence of Christ after they died, born again and holy, because the Bible says very clearly that the Lord would return with them. He will return with them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, brothers and sisters, addressing the church, the body of believers right there, we do not want you to be uninformed, meaning they want you to be enlightened about those who have slept in death, to be aware about death, because death is so central in the doctrine of so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who do not have hope, who have no hope. He's saying here, for us when death comes, it comes with hope. That combination of death and hope, death and blessing, is quite amazing. Verse 14 says, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring Jesus, will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. So that is the bedrock of our Christian faith, the life we have after death, that for us we have an eternal life with God. That is the basis of our preaching, the basis of our conversation as church, as Christians, as believers. That is our foundation. That Jesus defeats death, and that we share in that victory. Without that, we have nothing to preach. That is the basis of that today. Without that, all those who have died as Christians, who have suffered, persecuted, who have sold, some were stabbed with knives to death, some were put in drums boiling with oil and died, all that will have gone for nothing. If it were not for this promise of glorification at resurrection, glorification and entry into the kingdom of God. This is serious. Right now, the breaking has it that Russian airborne troops, Russian airborne units, the special operation forces have just landed in Kharkiv, in Ukraine. Right now, breaking is that the Russian airborne troops, those are the special operation troops, have just landed in the second city of Kharkiv. So it is in the backdrop of this enormity of the words of my tongue that I am conversationing with you right now about eternity. And so, what does glorification stand for? What else does glorification stand for? Now that Jesus has come and spoken with me about it and sent me to you in such an enormous way, in such a very mighty way, what else does glorification present, the message of glorification? What is Jesus saying to the church? The church he died for, he loved so much as died for. I want you to understand that glorification represents that most important step at which every Christian that has been faithful to the Lord, the church, will finally enter into God's rest. That is what I want to handle right now, after which we will close it for today. I might share the same during the global service to give them an equal opportunity, but for now, this is what the Lord has for you. Glorification represents that very important, that most important stage and step when finally the church, the faithful church, faithful and holy and righteous, gets to enter into God's rest. When you look at the book of Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapters 1 and 2, God's creation is totally perfect. He has made a perfect creation and is happy with his creation. It is perfect. And then Genesis chapter 2, 16 and 17, God gives a command. He says, and the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. That is now the command, the law of God, that is set before mankind. He created him, he created the creation, he gave him power, he devolved power from heaven, gave mankind, delegated to him, gave him his mandate, and then he placed this law right before mankind. And yet when you see in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, mankind disobeyed God. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Look at the perversion of the word, saying any tree. The woman said to the serpent, first of all, what are you busy doing talking to the serpent? The Lord is saying, flee from the enemy. Don't handle it. Don't try to sort it out with him. What are you doing talking to him? Verse 2. Verse 2 says, again, Genesis chapter 3, verse 3 says, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not certainly die. Now the contestation. The enemy is going to God's word, God's command. Isn't that what the enemy is always doing? You will not certainly die. Even now, the enemy is lying to the church. If you look at the modern-day church in Sydney, Australia, Melbourne, Brisbane, Adelaide, Perth, Australia, Canberra, the modern church in Saskatchewan, in Montreal, in Toronto, in New Brunswick, Canada, in London, Canada. If you look at all these churches, the church in Helsinki, the enemy has lied to them the same lie. The enemy has told them, no, you will not certainly die if you disobey God. If you live like this, if you dress like this, if you don't obey all the rules of God, you will not certainly die. And that's why the church is continuing on the path to sin, on the white road, according to Matthew 7, 13 and 14. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Be like God. What is this? God already created us in Genesis chapter 1, 26, 27, in his own image and likeness, to be like him. And God, to the present day church, God already promised that tells them, when the rapture takes place, they will have bodies like mine. God already invited mankind to share in his divine nature, to share in his divine protocol, in his divine order. So what is this the devil is deluding man on? When the woman said that the fruit was good, the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eyes, look at the last, sexual lust, lusting of the eyes, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was there with her, and they ate. So look at the disobedience. So you see, Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God has a perfect, excellent creation. God is happy with his creation. And when you look at Genesis chapter 2, 16, 17, God places his command. In other words, the rule of engagement, he places it before man. That if you do this, you will not die. If you do this, you live forever. Genesis 3, 1 to 7 on 8, 9, 10, mankind disobeys God. Genesis 3, 8 and 10, mankind hides from God. Genesis, let's read it, 8 and 10. It says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Until today, the church, the present-day church, think they can hide from God. They take a girl from this place, they go to a very far away place in Mexico called Puerto Escondido, a hidden port, and they have sexual sin there, thinking their God cannot see them. They come from church. They do things thinking God cannot see them. The omnipotent, omnipresent God. Here too, they were hiding, thinking God could not see them. But the Lord God called out to mankind, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Look at that. So, in Genesis 3, 8 and 10, mankind is hiding from God. Genesis chapter 3:24, it says, so the Lord God chased him from the garden, chased mankind from the garden of Eden, to walk the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the men out, he placed on the east side of the garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. That is when God Almighty finally cut off mankind, cut him off from God's rest. Cut him off. He cut him off from God's rest. And so when Jesus said, God tells them that when the rapture takes place, I will ensure, I will deliver, I will execute the promise. Go tell them, I will deliver the glory. Go tell them that when the rapture takes place, they will see my faithfulness. Those who have been faithful to me, I will be faithful to them. I will faithfully accomplish my word in them. Go tell them that I am coming soon. And when that day arrives, I will glorify them. They will have glorious bodies like mine. So when the Lord gave that message on October 18th, the year 2021, the message of glorification, he essentially implied that God tell them to persevere, because very soon when I come, those that will have persevered in holiness, I will admit them finally into God's rest. So the rapture then becomes entry into God's rest. Glorification then becomes entry, the ultimate, the eventual entry into God's rest. The final entry, finally, you enter into God's rest. Glorification is now when you enter into God's rest. And you know too well, in the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 1, look at what the Lord says. If you turn with me to the book of Exodus chapter 1, the Lord says the following. And a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came into power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must now deal shrewdly with them, or else they will become even more numerous, and if a war breaks out, they will join our enemies and fight against us and leave the country. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built Pithom and Ramesses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they oppressed the Israelites, the more they multiplied and spread. The Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. And hence, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. The key word there, oppressed, and then forced labor, and then oppressed again, and then worked them, and then ruthlessly. They made the lives of the Israelites very bitter with harsh. So bitter lives and harsh. Those are the key words if you want to list down. And harsh labor in brick and mortar. Again, they made their lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar. And with all kinds of hard work in the field. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shifra and Puah, when you are helping the Hebrew woman during childbirth, on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, let her live. The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had ordered them to do. They let the boys leave. This is serious. If you read verses 8 to 18 or 19, this is serious. I'm simply trying to make you understand what it means on the day of glorification for you to enter finally into God's rest. And I'm using this example that you may understand. Well, right now breaking, I can see streaming on all global media, we can now see the Russian troops. The Russian troops are walking Kharkiv right now live. Quite a lot of them. And 660,000 Ukrainians have fled. There are buildings that have been bombed. They are trying to cut people out from there. I am giving you this message within the backdrop of such a tremendous fulfillment, a shocking fulfillment of the words of my tongue. If you look back across time, the words of my tongue have captured all the global news, electronic and print and social media and everything, nonstop, second after second, day after day, nonstop. We have held a grip on the earth and we are not letting, praise the Lord. So anyhow, when the Lord said that God tell them that when the rapture takes place, they will have glorious bodies like mine. When the Lord says that, when he said that, you can now tell that the Lord was simply sending me to you to let you know that you should continue standing firm on holiness and righteousness, no matter the persecution, the abuse, the assault, the suffering. Why? Because very soon, tell them, he says, very soon they will finally enter into God's rest. And to develop for you an understanding of what it means to enter into God's rest, I have built for you the picture of what accrued in Egypt before the children of Israel were allowed to finally enter into God's rest, into the promised land. Even God, Yahweh himself, when he created and created and created, when he came the sixth day, even him, he took rest. He entered into God's rest, a kind of Shabbat. That's why in Israel they say, Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shalom of Racha. Entering into God's rest. Entering into God's rest. The abuse, the suffering, the hard labor, forced labor, oppression works them very hard. Ruthlessness, harsh labor, brick and mortar, harsh labor works them ruthlessly. Repeated twice within that scripture of Genesis 1, 8 to 18, 8 to 19. This is serious. Very serious. And so, before they entered into the promised land, into a land that the Lord promised, that when they enter into, now they would not have to go to River Nile and fetch water in their hands in buckets and irrigate the hectares and hectares of wheat and corn, as in a man, like a man watering a vegetable garden. They would not have to do that. they would simply now be asleep in the warmth of their blankets as God irrigates the fields from heaven, a land of open heaven. Did you understand? Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 8 on, it says, observe therefore all the commands I am giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, and so that you may live long in the land the Lord swore to your ancestors to give to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. The land you are entering to take over, crossing the Jordan to go and take over, is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you planted the seed and irrigated it by foot as in a vegetable garden, no matter the number of hectareage. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is the land of mountains and valleys that drink rain directly from heaven. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on that land from the beginning of the year to its end. So he's saying that while there was hard labor in Egypt, oppression, abuse, harsh treatment, ruthlessness, harsh labor, brick and mortar, but God now, after that hard labor, he decided to bring them into the promised land, into God's rest. They would simply have to sleep in their beds, in the comfort of their pillows and comfort of their blankets, and God would open heaven and irrigate the field for them free of charge. No more going to the River Nile by foot. You understand when the Lord says, tell them that when the rapture takes place, on that day, I'll give them glorious bodies like mine, and they will enter. Now I add, and they will essentially meant, and they will enter into God's rest. Finally, eternally. When you look at Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to verse 3 says, then the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation, and I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on the earth will be blessed through you. That is God promising Abraham that you bring him into God's rest. After all the travail in this other area here, the nomadism and what have you, God was now promising you give him his own land. He will take him and place him, he will enter into God's rest. You now understand, before we come to the church and glorification as the hallmark of your entry into God's rest, you understand. This is serious. So even Abraham, God promised him that after his labor, he would bring him into God's rest. But if there is one single feature and characteristic of all those that enter into God's rest, is that they have been laboring so hard. They have been working very hard before they can enter into God's rest. Laboring so hard. That you must have been laboring so hard, harsh labor, ruthlessness, abuse, bitter work, mistreatment, suffering, all those must characterize your life before you can qualify to enter into God's rest. For you to qualify to enter into God's rest. Do you see where I'm taking the church today with this message of glorification? It says, the book of Psalms, if you turn to Psalms, blessed people, the book of Psalm 105, if you can read with me. In Psalm 105, it says the following. Verses 24 and 25. It says, the Lord made his people very fruitful and made them too numerous for their foes, whose hearts were turned to hate his people, to conspire against his servants. Look at that. There must be harsh labor. There must be ruthless treatment, abuse, blackmail, slander, mockery, hard labor, brick and mortar. You must be working very hard for you to qualify to enter into God's rest. That is what the Lord is saying here. This is serious, blessed people. Very, very serious. That when the Lord said on that day, when he said that God tells them that when the rapture takes place, they will have glorious bodies like mine. The Lord essentially meant that on that day of rapture, to those who have been holy and faithful to him, into the new Jerusalem, into God's rest. I want to come to that, but allow me first explore this and bring context to it, that you may have a broader understanding of this tremendous blessing the Lord has laid before the church, October 18, 2021. He says, in the book of Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. He says, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard their crying out because of their slave drivers. And I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them out of the land of Egypt into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, into God's rest. In other words, after the hard labor, now I can bring them. I have heard their travail. Total misery. Lives miserable, great pain, ruthlessness, serious trouble, bitter lies, cruelty, abuse, blackmail. In Hebrew they say, kashe meod, meaning very heavy work, very, very heavy. And so, they had broken spirits because of the way they are being abused. I am coming to you, the church also, and I'm going to ask you, have you labored for the Lord for you to qualify to enter into God's rest? That is the question before us today. So when he promises that there is glorification on the day of the rapture, the day of entry to heaven, the Lord is simply saying that an entry into the new heaven, the new Jerusalem, the new earth, into God's rest, the mansions prepared for you. But have you labored for God? What will you be resting from? Because he says that the Christian today who is looking forward to enter into God's rest on the day of glorification, they must have suffered for the righteousness to be held. They must have been persecuted. Serious rejection, persecution, suffering, torture, animosity, abuse, abandonment, neglect, laughter, mocked. Have those things happened to you? You, the church that is aspiring to be glorified and enter into God's rest. Have you gone through all this? Have you? Serious suffering for holiness. Pain, abuse. The Lord is absolutely very clear. In the book of Acts, let me show you the people that will enter into God's rest. The book of Acts, chapter 8, it says the following, verse 1. And Saul approved of their killing. And the title says, the church persecuted and scattered. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. In other words, God set out for the church. He mapped out, he charted for a path. He designed for the church a path whereby pain and suffering, persecution, rejection, animosity, hostilities, torture would be the hallmark of the walk. Have you gone through that for you to be able now to claim on that day that you want to enter, you also want to enter God's rest? Have you gone through blackmail? Have you been abused? Have you been rejected, laughed at, mocked? Have you been persecuted at work? Have you suffered for the gospel? John chapter 15 verse 20 says the following. John chapter 15 verse 20. He says, John chapter 15 verse 20 says, remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they must persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey you as also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. God promised persecution. It is this kind of charge that he said, God tells them that when the rapture takes place, they will be glorified and they will enter into God's rest. I have mansions waiting for them where they can now enjoy God's rest after hard labor, bitterness, abuse, brick and mortar, ruthless treatment, harsh treatment, suffering, rejection, torture, hostility, animosity, blackmail, mockery. Have you passed through all that? Have you gone through all that? Have you really gone through all that? You that is claiming that you too, oh, me too, I want to enter. Me too, I want to be glorified to enter. Have you gone through all this for the sake of the gospel? Galatians chapter 5. We begin with chapter 3, verse 4. Galatians chapter 3, verse 4, it says, have you experienced so much in vain? If it really was in vain, Have you suffered all this in vain? God promised suffering, that there will be severe suffering for those that would follow him. But today, the postmodern Christianity of this day, where they are preaching prosperity, and they give you health insurance, and they secure you, the human rights of today, where they say it is your human rights for health care. It's your human right not to be discriminated. It's your human rights not to be what? So it has made the Christian literally shielded and protected from experiencing the suffering, persecution, rejection, and torture, hostility, animosity, harsh treatment, ruthlessness, abuse, blackmail, mockery, ridicule. The Christian is attempting to get away with it. You cannot. You cannot. And you will not. You cannot, you will not. You cannot, and you will not. You will not get away with it. That is what the Lord is saying. But today you have human rights. You have feminism rights. You have affirmative action rights. You have all these things that give you security. You have a right to security, a right to health care, a right to what? And then now, the Christian soul is attempting to get away with it. And yet the Lord ordained this pathway. He says, before they could enter God's rest into their promised land, they were treated harshly by their slave masters. They were abused. They were tortured. Brick and mortar. There was bitterness. Bitter lies. Total misery. Miserable life, great pain, ruthlessness, serious trouble, bitter life, cruelty, kashemeod, broken spirit, great pain, until God says, I have heard their suffering. I now want to bring them into God's rest. How about the church on the day of glorification? Will you really make it? You that have been totally shielded, you have never known what persecution is. What suffering for the gospel is. What being abused for the sake of Jesus is. Philippians chapter 1:29. It says, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. 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 This is serious. He says, those that enter into God's rest, they have travailed. They have suffered. They have gone through misery for the sake of the gospel. For the sake of Jesus. They have lived a miserable life for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Jesus. They have gone through tremendous pain for the sake of the gospel. Some of them, their husband abandoned them, their wife walked away from them, their children rejected them, their father rejected her. She remained alone because of the gospel, because of the truth. They have suffered ruthlessness. They have suffered serious trouble. They have lived bitter lives. They have been treated with cruelty. Their spirits have been broken. Great pain. Suffering. Great persecution. Rejection. Torture. Hostilities. Animosities. For the sake of the gospel. For the sake of salvation. For the sake of holiness. They have lost jobs. So have you gone through these things before you can claim right on that day of glorification that you also want to enter into the new Jerusalem? Did you see the challenge? Have you now seen the challenge? The challenge that God Almighty is presenting before you. presenting to you, if you really want to enter into God's rest, have you seen the tremendous challenge? The unbelievable challenge that God is talking about. This is serious, blessed people. He says the rapture essentially represents entry into God's rest, that you may rest from your labors. Those that enter the rapture, those that enter God's rest, they rest from their labor. They have been laboring for the Lord. Have you labored for God? Have you labored for God? This is serious. He's saying that every Christian that he designed for them their redemptive plan. I mean, his redemptive plan for their redemption. He designed suffering and hard labor and rejection, persecution, abuse, cruelty, hostilities. He designed it on that path. Because the world rejected Jesus, you would have to be rejected also. Have you now understood? Have you now understood? Another breaking again. Russian special forces have entered another city. The city of Kherson. Breaking throughout social media now. The Russian troops, the special forces are now, they have entered most of the cities with their armored vehicles. And so, you say you want to enter. You say you want to be glorified like Jesus. But do you know what it takes to enter into God's rest? First Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Turn with me there, blessed people. I'm reading 12 and 13. 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Have you now understood the path that Jesus designed for the church that he sent me to? He said, go tell them that on that day when the rapture takes place, I'll glorify them, and they will have glorious bodies like mine. Have you now begun to understand the identity of the Christian saint that enters into heaven? The one that has mansions prepared so that they may enter into God's rest. They must have been subjected to extreme suffering for the gospel. Total misery. A miserable life. Great pain. Ruthless treatment. Serious trouble. Bitter lives. Cruelty, broken spirit, great suffering, kasheme hod, suffering, persecution, rejection, torture, hostilities, abuse, mockery, blasphemy, animosity. Have you gone through all those things for the sake of the holiness of the salvation you behold? Have you suffered for the gospel? Have you suffered for the gospel? Have you suffered for the gospel of Jesus? I can see all of you saying, oh, I want to enter. I'm waiting to be glorified. What a beautiful message. What a wonderful message. Thank you, mightiest prophets of the Lord, for bringing us such a wonderful hope. But do you know what it takes to be glorified? Do you know what it takes on that day to be able to enter the kingdom of glory? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 to 18. He says the following. From verse 16 he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary suffering and troubles and the persecution laid on us are achieving for us an excellent eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So let us fix our eyes on Jesus, not on what we see, but on what is unseen, the glory coming. Since what is unseen, what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. Let us focus on the eternal glorification, he says. He's saying that there is suffering. There is the outward wasting away. Even though inwardly you're being renewed and building for your treasure into the kingdom of God, Matthew chapter 6, 19-24, storing up treasures in heaven. However, outwardly you're wasting away. When everybody sees you, they can see that, wow, this one cannot fit on this earth. The earth, life in this world, was not worthy of them. You remember what happened to Cain and Abel. When Abel worshipped God wholly, Cain came and killed him. He had to suffer because of that holy worship. You remember what happened to the Hebrew boys? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because they stood with God to holy worship, to worship him holy, they had to be punished. They had to be tortured. They had to be thrown into fire. You know what happened to Daniel in Daniel chapter 6. Because Daniel stood with God to worship him holy, he had to be thrown into the lion's den. Why? Why does the present day church think that she can get away with this requirement and still enter heaven? What makes you think you'll be glorified and you'll enter the mansion in the New Jerusalem without suffering, without torture, without persecution, without rejection, without torture, without animosity, without misery, without a miserable life, without great pain, without ruthless treatment, without serious trouble, without bitter life, without cruelty, without a broken spirit, without greater suffering? What makes you think you can enter heaven without these benchmarks God set out for you? And they have zero tolerance to pain. A small thing, they say, oh, they have fallen away. They have dropped away from Jesus. They have dropped away from holiness. They have dropped away from the holy repentance of God. And yet, the Lord says here clearly that everybody that wants to enter heaven must suffer for the sake of the gospel. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, he says the following. It says, remember those early days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. God has designed and set out suffering on the path to glorification. God Almighty has designed for you the way to follow, the narrow way, the constricted way, the restrained way, the constrained way, that you may enter glorification. But you go to Australia, oh, the Christian is well pampered. Oh, in a little pain, oh, they cushion you here. They cushion you here. How then will you go, will you have the privilege of going through the suffering that Christ went through? How in that form? How will you manage to make it through? The Second Timothy chapter 3 verse 12. He says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly, holy life in Christ Jesus must be persecuted. In fact, everyone that intends to live a holy life, because the Bible says, for without holiness, nobody will enter the kingdom of God. He says, in fact, everybody that intends to live a holy life must be persecuted. That is the only way you can be glorified and then get to enter into God's rest. You must labor before you go and rest. Even God Yahweh, my friend, himself, Jehovah El Olam himself, he had to labor for 6 days and then he rested on the seventh day. Everybody must labor before they enter rest. What is this perversion I see in the church today? Whereby they want to enter God's rest without labor. The Messiah is coming. I'll be back. Thank you.